There is. Hello, family. There's a holy hum. That's what we used to call it when people were just chittering and chattering. A holy hum in the house of God. Love it. Good morning, everybody. I don't know why it feels like it has been more than a week since we were here together. I don't know why it feels like that, but it does. But there you have it. So this week, Pastor Eric and Nancy and the children and Pastor Mike and I went to a pastor's conference over in Oregon on the coast. And there was this wonderful speaker at night. His name is Juan Carlos. And I don't know if anybody else got what I got, but boy, I got a lot. I loved it. And he's very thick accent, just truly a wonderful, wonderful man of God. And he said, I told Vicky, he had a lot of one-line zingers. And I love that because I have my notes out and I was just taking notes as he was speaking. And this morning I was going to share on something about what he said. And then I was looking in my Bible app trying to find the scripture that I was looking for, and I realized God had me on that hunt to find this one. And so this is what I found this morning. Now this is in Luke 12, and it starts out saying, do not be anxious. How many of y'all felt anxious at one time or another just this week? Just this week, you felt a little anxious about something. But he says, don't be anxious. And then he goes through all of these things that caused or can cause anxiety in when he was speaking to his disciples. And he's talking to them, don't worry about your life. Now, we're getting ready to move. For those of you that don't know that, we're getting ready to move buildings. We're not moving away from God. He's in us. He's going with us, right? But we are moving away from uncomfortable. And that can cause a little anxiousness in us, right? But he says, do not be anxious for anything. And so as I'm reading this, I come across this one scripture, and it almost seems to be made for us as a church. And this is what it says. Do not be afraid. This is in the same category. Little flock. Now, some people may come in and stand at the back of the church and see us and say, ooh, that's a small congregation. That's not very big. But God. And it says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is well pleased to give you the kingdom. Now, let me tell you guys something. What is so exciting is that when we, let me get you this one-liner zinger that he said this week. He said that God wants to leak, L-E-A-K, from us. Like, have you ever seen that emoji that has the little squirty eyes coming out with the big face? I don't know what it's called, but that's squirty eyes. He wants to leak from us. He wants other people to look at you, Gabe, and say, something's different about that kid. What is it? You're not a kid. You're a young adult. But what is it that's different about him? He's leaking something. Now, let me just tell you guys. When the woman at the well at the noon hour was touched by God, she went back to a village that knew her. That village knew her past. That village knew her character. That village watched her live in sin. But when God got a hold of her, she went back to the same village, and there was something different about her. Different enough that same village followed her out to the well to see what it was she was talking about or who it was she was talking about. They didn't have to listen to her. They didn't have to say, you're telling us to come see a man that told you everything about your life. We don't need to see that. But there was something that was leaking out of her. There was something that was exuding Jesus out of her that they just had to turn around and follow her. Is anybody following you? Is anybody watching you? What's leaking out of you today? What's making you different? So this morning, Father, we come to you with our hearts wide open. And we say, God, you're already with us, but change us. Help us, God, to recognize and realize that you are the reason for everything we do. You, God. Father, we just submit ourselves to you. Father, we just pray that as we worship, as we listen to the word, as we recognize you're speaking in one way and one form or another, help us, God, to recognize you're speaking to our hearts, to our spirits. And Father, when we take that in, when we grasp it and we draw it to ourselves and we make it part of who we are, Father, would you help us this week to leak out on somebody else? Help us to change from deep within. Help us to change so others will want to know you. You want to give us the kingdom, this little flock here on 34th and Titan. You want your little flock to have all of the kingdom so others will be hungry. God, let us be very careful of that calling. We love you, Jesus. Be blessed by our worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of God. And I would just challenge you this morning, just begin worshiping right where you are in your seat. We don't need lyrics. We don't need a melody. Those are great things. Those are fun things. They sound pretty. But worship is more than just music. Worship is more than just a sound. Worship is a heartbeat to heaven. Worship is a moment with Jesus. We worship because he's worthy. We don't worship because it's fun. We don't worship because we get to sing our favorite songs. We worship because he's worthy. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you.
I could not climb. In desperation, I turned to heaven, spoke your name into
Jesus, yours is a victory.
grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living. One more time, church. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah. Death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation.
know about you guys, but something is stirring in me so hard, you guys. This isn't just a song. Our King was put on a cross and he was made to not even be recognized as human. But he overcame, you guys. He didn't just overcome. Like when we hear about news about like a new baby, we're like, oh my God, so cute. He's so cute. But we hear about news about our King coming off of a cross and reviving us as people and humanity. And we're like, oh, he overcame. He overcame. He freaking overcame, guys. He overcame. He overcame. We don't have to carry anything anymore. We don't have to be in shame. We don't have to be in overwhelm. We don't have to be in anxiety. We don't have to be in death, you guys. Our God overcame. He got up off that cross, you guys. He's doing things. Wake up. We are to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And if we can't get excited about what he did, how do we expect the world to? He healed sickness so our family doesn't have to go through it anymore. He overcame. One more time, he overcame. I want you guys to say it like you mean it, because he did. He didn't just come off that cross to be mourned. He came off that cross to be celebrated, to be lifted high, to be excited about. He is good news. He is good news. Do you hear me? He is good news. So let's do this again. But I want us to sing it out and sing it out like we are the most excited people in the whole world, because our God came to revive us, to bring us alive, to save us, to do things that nobody else could do. In the name of Jesus.
We sing hallelujah.
The Lamb is over. One more time, we sing. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. We sing hallelujah. The Lamb is overcome.
Talking about what God the Father had his son do was to die, and it was because of the joy that was set before him. He chose. Not only did he do it, but he chose because he wanted relationship. Papa needs relationship. He has a need, and he would do anything. When you reach out to him, he would do anything if you would reach out to him. He doesn't want to keep asking. Prepare your heart. Have your heart ready to reach out because he wants you so badly. If you can wrap your brain around the fact that he chose, that's what that means. The joy, for the joy that was set before him, because then he was excited, because then he got to live through us. He got to meet us and live through us.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The very beginning of the service, Gabe was sharing about not to be anxious. Well, that's the reason why we don't have to be anxious. He overcome. He overcame death. He overcame hell. He overcame the grave. He overcame everything that was in his way. And now, you know what? He's given us that same power. To overcome being anxious, to overcome being depressed, to overcome being sick, to overcome being, you know, with no hope. Because of him, we are now overcomers. Amen? And like Nancy said, this is good news. You know, and good news is something we usually get excited about. You know, if I just told you that you guys won the lottery, even if you didn't pay a ticket, you'd get pretty excited. Well, we have better news than we won the lottery. Basically, what has happened, we've won life. We have won life. We have won victory over life. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Greet someone, love on them, and we'll be back in a few.
Good morning, church. Let's take our seats, please. We're going to get ready to start the service. We're going to go on ahead and start with our declaration over Yakima, because we love the city that we live in. We love the people here. We are blessed that we have a city to live in the first place. So we want to declare good things over it. So go ahead and go to that first slide, please. All right, we're going to do this in cadence on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved. That revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley. That every business, big or small, will thrive. That the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven. That you would use me in doing all of these things. And I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. Well, God, we just thank you so much for this day. We just thank you that you have blessed us with this church building, with this church congregation. And we just declare that each and every heart in this room would be touched right now, God, that you would just begin preparing our hearts and our minds to receive the amazing word that Pastor Eric has to say today. And so we just thank you so much for all of this. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. We just have you guys can be seated. We have a few announcements. The first one is the men's breakfast happening next Saturday. So men, this will be our last men's breakfast in this house. Make it a priority, put it in your calendar, invite a friend, invite a coworker. If you know a young person as well, last time we had, our youth was represented. We had about five or six young men men that were there, and it was a really powerful time. Pastor Rick shared, and it's just a great time to come together, eat some food, drink some coffee, and learn about the Word of God. So that's this upcoming Saturday. The next thing is in 2 weeks, 2 weeks from today, March 24th, we will be in our new building. Okay, everyone say praise God. Our new building in Sela. This is the address. We will text this out probably the week of, just to make sure everybody's on the same page. And you know, we're gonna fill that place and lift up our voices to heaven. It's like Pastor always says, like there's no distance in the spirit, right? And so it's not. This is just a building. And the same God that we get to worship here is the same God that we get to worship in Sela. It's the same God that we get to worship any house that we're in. And so this is our will be our new sanctuary. And yeah, and so it'll be a great Sunday. So it'll be awesome. And then last but not least, just thank you for giving. Thank you guys for pouring into this house and sowing your finances, your tithes, your offerings into what we're doing here at One Life Family Worship. And you can give online as well as in the one box here, one box in the back. And we appreciate all of that. So are we good, Pastor?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm gonna set the stage first. We're gonna show a quick video. I kind of just threw this on Pastor at the last second. Friday night, we did something called the Gathering 509, and you may have heard me talk about this in days past. This is something that really is passionate on my heart, on Nancy's heart, and that is to unify the church, unify the body of Christ. And so I'm all for getting together with our kids and just doing our church things. There is something very special when you get together with other bodies of Christ that are in our city and just worship together. And so the heart behind this is that we would get together with these churches, get together with these youth groups, and just come together and say, hey, we can't agree on everything. We can't agree on should you speak in tongues, should you not speak in tongues? Should women speak from the pulpit, should they not speak from the pulpit? Should you serve Folgers coffee or should you not serve Folgers coffee? We can't agree on a lot of things, but what we can agree on is this: Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. That's what we can come together on. And so that's the heart behind these nights. We've done a few of them in the past, and this is by far my favorite one we did. We got together at Northtown Coffee, right? We weren't in a church building. We were in a mutual meeting space, and we gathered, you know, I didn't get an accurate count. I want to say it was between 30 and 40 people, maybe a little bit more. And we just worshiped at one point, really cool. We were towards the end of the night, we're worshiping. And if you've been to Northtown in this space, it's called the Sunroom. The only thing blocking it from the rest of the coffee shop is a curtain. And we were there during business hours. And we weren't quiet by any means. And so at one point towards the end of the night, I was faced towards that curtain, and I could see this young adult couple come through. And I knew that they hadn't been there all night. I knew that they weren't a part of our group, but I got to talking to them later, and they're like, yeah, we go to church and we came to just get coffee. And we were sitting there thinking, is that worship? That's worship. And like came in and they got to, be a part of it. And so it was just a really, really cool night. I can't say enough good things about it. And I just wanted to show really quick, this quick little 20-second clip, if we could play that. Can we just give a praise to Jesus right now? You guys, it's like what my wife was talking about when she came up here is we get excited about a lot of things that mean nothing. We get excited when, you know, we go to the coffee shop and they're like, oh, by the way, you got a free coffee this morning. That's exciting. But come on, if we kind of get excited about a bunch of Gen Z kids taking a Friday night, saying, I could be anywhere else, but I'm going to come to this coffee shop and I'm going to worship Jesus amongst my peers and not care who's around. Like, that is exciting.
That is, and that right there, these nights and what we do on Sunday nights, like that's why we do it, because we want to see a generation. We believe that a generation will be saved. We believe that a generation will encounter a loving Father. And so I just wanted to share that real quick, because I know I hadn't talked about it up until this point. And I'm just believing that as we continue to do these things, we're going to see God just show up in a mighty way. And I know teenagers aren't everybody's flavor. I know that it's funny. I when I was leaving my last job at the mission to go to Riverside, my coworker, she was like, "God bless you." She's like, "I don't know how you hang around teenagers, because I hate them." And I was like, "Oh, I guess I never considered that people just have a hard time with teenagers." And I get it, because sometimes they suck. But I love them so much. So anyhow, I just wanted to share that real quick. Let's pray. I have a word I want to share with you guys. And let's pray before we get into this. Jesus, we just thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy. And we thank you for your love that you're pouring out. And we thank you, Lord, for what you did Friday night. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now. God, we thank you, Lord, that we can gather in a space and worship your name no matter where we are. And I just pray, Lord, that you would be with us, God, this morning as I bring this word. And I pray you would anoint my lips, Lord. You would anoint my spirit, God. You would anoint my voice. And I just thank you, Jesus, that you are on the throne and that you are King of Kings, of Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. So I'm going to preach a message this morning. I titled it Living Faith in Tension. Living Faith in Tension. And if you know me, I have the tendency to make very definitive statements. Like, I could be very black and white when it comes to a lot. And my wife challenges me a lot in this, and everything. We're talking about something, and she says, I'll finish my statement. She's like, "Yes, and also," and sometimes it can be very frustrating. But it's good to challenge those areas, because I think that in a lot of things there is tension. And tension isn't bad. Tension sounds bad, and it can be bad, but tension isn't always bad. Like, it's okay to have tension in what you believe, for instance, okay? And so here's the truth, is that it's not always going to feel easy or be easy to have faith, and that's okay. It's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows and glory to God when you're following God. It just isn't. And if you've been in this faith any amount of time, I think everybody in here would all agree that there are moments where it gets tough to believe that God's going to move, where it's going to get. And we have to, as a church, have that conversation and be able to admit that. Because what I see, which I think is actually hurting the church, is Christians that don't face this tension, and they walk around with, you know, "Well, how are you doing? Is everything okay? Everything's good. Praise God, brother. Everything's good." When everything's not good, and you're broken, and you've been waiting for God to move in your life, and you've been waiting for, you know, the miraculous to happen, and you've been waiting for the healing, and you've been waiting for the financial breakthrough, you've been waiting for X, Y, and Z. And I've known pastors that, you know, I'm a very transparent person. Again, if you've had a conversation with me, like, I have a really hard time answering, like, "How are you doing?" Because good for me is hard to, like, "Do you have 5 minutes, right? Like, how am I doing? Like, I'm going to tell you, like, I'm doing all right, you know, but I might have to process more." And I've had pastor friends who have been in this, you know, "Everything's good, everything's great, everything's grand." And then find out, like, "Oh, actually you're going through it." And because you're not able to process, or not willing to process, and you're kind of putting what my wife calls these grace blankets over your life, you actually now are headed down a path that you wouldn't have been if you processed and were honest with yourself. And so we have to be able to have this conversation that faith isn't always easy, and that's okay. Questioning what you believe is how you ultimately get to truth. And it might sound like a scary statement, but I'll say it again. It's okay for you to question your faith. You have to question your faith. Otherwise, you don't actually know what you believe. God's not looking for people to just follow him blindly and say, just go this way and don't ask questions. God's looking for people who are willing to take intentional steps towards him and with him. And so if we're not asking these questions and obviously, like, there is a line, right? Like there's the Jonah, right? There's the Jonah that's like, hey, I know you want me to go that way, but I'm actually going to go this way. There's that. And I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is wrestling with this idea that, God, I know that you're good and I know that you're faithful. Also, I don't understand and I'm scared and I don't know what to do right now. And I'm going to follow you. But I'm afraid to follow you, right? It's Abraham and Isaac. I'm going to sacrifice my son. We don't get to hear the background story of Abraham when he was going to sacrifice his son. But as a father, I can't imagine any loving father who'd been waiting for a son for so long to just be like, cool, God, high five, sacrifice my son that I've been waiting for so long. No, I imagine a father who was actually in turmoil saying, God, I believe in you. Also, I don't want to do this. And as he tied up his son and got the knife or whatever he had to get ready to sacrifice his son, having this conversation, and again, I'm reading between the lines, okay? But again, just I'm pulling from a father's perspective. If it were me, and God was like, sacrifice this thing, sacrifice your son, and I'm just following God, it wouldn't be an easy thing. And it would be this conversation I'm having with my son as I'm tying him up, getting him ready to sacrifice him at the altar, as tears are running down my face, as tears are running down his face. This isn't an easy thing, but I follow God. And if you don't know the story, God comes through and there's a ram in the thicket and he doesn't sacrifice his son. Praise God. But nonetheless, there's these moments and tension. There's a lot of tension in the Bible, if you read it, where people are like, I don't want to do this, right? I'm afraid to do this. And so as a believer, if your questioning doesn't lead you to him, keep searching until you find him. Keep searching until you find him. Me and my wife, when we first were dating, I've told our story plenty of times in here, but in short, she was a Christian following Jesus and I wasn't so much. And when our relationship got serious and she kind of revealed, like, she dropped this Jesus bomb on me and was like, I actually really love Jesus. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And so I was asking a lot of questions. I was asking a lot of questions. I remember this one night, me and my girlfriend at the time, Nancy, we were sitting outside my work and we're having this conversation about Jesus. And I remember just telling her, like, if Jesus was real and he wanted everybody to believe, why don't he just come in the flesh right now? I'll believe him. I'll do it. Right? And her, you know, having to kind of walk me through that and realize and help me realize, like, I didn't realize in that very moment, but it kind of helped me in this journey of, like, faith is without seeing. Faith is something that you have to follow it in faith, and you're not always going to understand. And again, as Christians, we have to be okay with that tension, is that I don't have all the answers, but God. I don't know why this is happening, but God. I'm not going to make excuses for God. I'm not going to try to pretend like I have all the answers because I don't, but God. I want to read this story, and if you have your Bibles or your phones, I would encourage you to follow along with me. I'm going to be in Mark 9. Mark 9, verse 14. And I've been kind of chewing on this for the last couple weeks. I met with a youth pastor in town, and he brought this verse to me, and I've been just kind of chewing on this. And you may have heard this story before. Mark 9, verse 14, it says, when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. They were overwhelmed with wonder. I want to pause there for a second. Because when's the last time you were overwhelmed with wonder for Jesus? When's the last time you actually felt excited that you were going to be in the presence of Jesus? When's the last time that you had goosebumps and a feeling in your stomach about, I get to hang out with Jesus? Here's the cool thing about if you read some of these moments where Jesus walked into the city, is that they were, oftentimes it says that they were waiting and they were expecting. They were waiting, they were expecting. And here, they were overwhelmed with wonder. And what follows these moments, if they're waiting and expecting or they're overwhelmed with wonder, is that miracles follow. So it gets me to believe that if I wait and expect, actually expect God to do something, if I'm overwhelmed with wonder in the awe of God, I don't have all the answers, but I'm overwhelmed with wonder, I have the potential to set myself up to see a miracle in my life. Verse 16 says, "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring me the boy." So how often do we as believers forget the power of Jesus inside of us? This wasn't any Joe Schmoes that were trying to cast out this demon or heal this young boy. These were Jesus's disciples. These were people that Jesus was doing life with. These are people that Jesus was teaching, that Jesus was showing them. This is how you do this. This is the formula. You listen to what the Father is doing and we do that. We have all access to Jesus. Everything he obtained, we have. We have the same ability to go into a place and where there is sickness, there be no sickness. Where there is death, there be no death. Where there is depression, there be no depression. We have that ability. Why? Because Jesus gave that to us. How often do we, as believers, though, forget the power of Jesus inside of us? We must walk as if our hands are loaded with the Spirit of God. What would it look like for a church, for this church, for any church here in Yakima, of Christians to walk around as if our hands are loaded with the Spirit of God? What would it look like? What would Memorial Hospital look like if we as Christians walked as our hands are loaded with the Spirit of God? What would your family look like? What would your marriage look like? What would your children look like? What would your workplace look like if we walked around as if the Spirit of God actually lived inside of us? What would it look like? I get it that there is, again, this tension, right? Because it's all fine and dandy and fun to talk about this in church in the safe confines of our building here where the big bad world can't see us be weird Christians, okay? That's all fine and dandy to talk about it in here, and it's a different game when we step out of these doors. But again, it's like we always say, what we're doing here is the fun part. What we're doing here is the equipping. What we're doing here is yes, you come here to encounter Jesus and to fellowship and all of that. Ultimately, though, what I believe Jesus is looking for is a church that would become active not just on Sunday from 10:30 to noon. Yeah. But what about at 12:30? What about at 5 o'clock tonight when you're sitting at dinner with your family? What about tomorrow at 8 o'clock when you're at work, you're taking your kids to school? What about those moments? Is the Spirit of God in you at those moments? It very much is, but have you activated it? Are you actually walking in it? Verse 20, it says, "So they brought him. When the Spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, 'How long has he been like this?' 'From childhood,' he answered. 'It has often thrown him into a fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us.'" And listen to this part, 23. It says, if you can, said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Amen. If you can. Imagine the audacity to come to Jesus, say, "if you can." But this is actually what a lot of the church is doing. "God, if you can, fill this place up. God, if you can, heal my mother. God, if you can, you know, restore my marriage. God, if you can, if you can." Everything is possible for one who believes. This is the Spirit of God has to be so active in us that we pray as we are actually believing that Jesus is going to do something. Not I pray and hope. That's something else. You might as well be throwing a penny into a wishing well. I hope this thing gets restored. Let me throw my little penny in there. That's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve is a God who came down in the flesh and died a horrendous death for you and I to have full authority. To have full authority here on earth, to have full authority in all of our walks of life. That is the God that we serve. Verse 24, immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. There's two things happening. I do believe. Also, there's unbelief inside of me. Help me with that part. Your belief and unbelief can coexist. Your belief in Jesus and unbelief or doubt in Jesus can coexist. And this is that tension. I believe in Jesus. I believe all the things that we read in the Bible. I believe the songs that we sing. I believe the sermons that we hear on a Sunday morning and all these things. I believe those things. Also, I have doubt. Those things can coexist. Now, is that a place where we should live? Absolutely not. Should we plant our seat there and say, okay, well, I'm going to stay in this place of living in the of this tension. It's not a place to live, but it is a place to dwell for a second because we're humans, because we have human tendencies inside of us. Your belief in Jesus and unbelief or doubt in Jesus can coexist, but we don't fake it till we make it. We be transparent with God. You guys know that God actually is not afraid of your transparency. God's actually not afraid of you to say, hey, I have doubt right now. Even in your prayers, saying, God, I'm praying for this thing. I'm praying for these people. I'm praying for X, Y, and Z. And I'm struggling to believe that you're actually going to do it. I'm struggling to believe that you're actually going to move in this way. God's not offended by those things because he's a loving father. You know, I remember every time Nancy told me she was pregnant, I could remember each moment. I remember when we were just 21 years old, she told me on Father's Day she was pregnant with our first. And I remember when just a few years later, when we lived on the house on 8th, and she told me that she was pregnant with Caden. And I remember being in Portland and her telling me that she was, you know, in our apartment there in Portland, telling me she was pregnant with Liana. I remember when we were in Portland again and she told me she was pregnant and that baby went to heaven. And then finally our grand finale, Tegan. I remember when she told me she was pregnant. And each time there was an excitement because I love being a father. And I love building our family. And there was fear. Those two things coexist in me. I was excited to bring another human being into this earth. I was excited to build our family and grow our family. I was excited to see my wife pregnant because she is, in my opinion, one of the most beautiful pregnant women I've ever seen. I was excited for all of these things. And I was equally scared because I was scared of, is there going to be any complications? Is this baby actually going to make it? Is my wife going to be okay when she's actually giving birth? When this baby is here, are we going to be able to actually like financially support this child? The two things existed. It doesn't mean that I was fully excited or fully fearful, that they both were there. And so in the same way, you know, we as believers, we have this tension often. I feel confident in saying most of us walk in this tension of like, yes, Jesus is God. Jesus is everything. Jesus can make the miraculous happen. And I can believe it for them, but I don't actually know if I could believe it for me. Pretending like the unbelief doesn't exist is lying to yourself. David acknowledged the giant. David acknowledged Goliath. He didn't show up on the scene and say, hey, I've been anointed king. There's a giant out there, David. No, there's not. Let's just pretend like he's not there. No, David acknowledged the giant. He acknowledged him, and that's how he defeated him. Joshua and the Israelites acknowledged the walls of Jericho. They didn't say, hey, let's just pretend like the walls aren't there. No, they actually acknowledged them and did something with that. Jesus acknowledges that there's an enemy, acknowledges that the enemy is defeat. He doesn't ignore it, say, hey, let's just pretend like the enemy doesn't exist. Maybe he'll go away. Maybe he'll leave us alone if we just pretend like the enemy isn't here. No, he actually acknowledges there's an enemy, acknowledges that there's this evil spirit, acknowledges that there's a demon. Hey, we're going to go after that. I'm going to acknowledge it. You're not fooling God like pretending everything is okay. I want to jump. We're going to finish this story in a minute, but I want to jump to Matthew 11, just a few chapters over. Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. We've heard this verse, right? It's a pretty famous verse. But when we settle in this space of, God, I'm struggling to believe, I'm struggling to actually find peace in what you're wanting to do, this is the call to action for us as believers. We go to him, all who are weary and burdened. So he's not saying, don't be weary and don't be burdened, because that is dumb. Just believe what I say. He's saying that you're going to get weary and you're going to be burdened, and that's okay. Because when that happens, you can come to me. And you know what? I'll give you rest. You could take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I'm gentle and humble. I'm not going to be annoyed at you. I'm not going to say, hey, this is so silly. Why are you stressed out about this? I'm gentle and humble in heart. And again, you will find rest, and will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's jump back over to Mark 9. Verse 25, this is the end of the story. It says, when Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit. Again, he's not ignoring it. Let's pretend like it's not there. Maybe, you know, maybe he just needs some sleep. Maybe he just needs a snack. Maybe he just needs some medication. No, let me speak directly to the spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. That could be a little confusing. And when I've read this, I'm like, what does that even mean? Obviously, I know what it means. Like, this kind can only come out by prayer. And as I was processing this a little bit with the Lord last night, I got this revelation, if you will, this statement in my mind that said, when you stay prayed up, you keep the faucet running. And I think that's what Jesus was trying to let them know. It's not that you guys haven't prayed. I'm sure you guys have prayed. You're my disciples. That's what we do. We pray. That's what we do. But somewhere along the lines, maybe you turned the faucet off or the faucet got cold. But when you stay prayed up, you keep the faucet running. When you stay in the spirit of God and you stay prayed up, then when the situations arise, right? In this instance, we're talking about a demon. Many of us are most likely not going to face those. Maybe you will. But for you, it might be a situation with a person, a situation with a coworker, a situation with a boss, a family member, right? Those are the moments, right? We all know those moments where you could be a Christian all day here with us, but the second you get around that person, try Jesus, don't try me, right? However, when we stay prayed up and we stay full of the Holy Spirit, we can still get around that person or those people. And because we're so full of the Spirit of God, the faucet's still running, we then can present Jesus to them. We can then live out of a characteristics of Jesus because we've been doing the work in the quiet space. We've been doing the work in our car when we're driving by ourselves and we're just praying, or before we go to bed, we're praying. We've been doing the work. Again, these moments are great. Sunday mornings are amazing. But if you think for a second that this hour and a half that we meet on a Sunday morning is sufficient for your faith, I'm sorry, but you're sadly mistaken. Your Christian life has to be so much more than this Sunday morning experience. And I love this place, and I will continue to gather on Sundays and bring my family to church and do that. Also, recognize this, is that if we as believers don't, or if we as believers keep being so dependent on the Sunday gathering, we will miss it. And I think, you know, I think we learned a little bit, if you paid attention at all, in the Christian faith 2020, when nobody could meet. How many people at that point were like, I don't even know what to do with my faith now. I don't even know what to do. I'm not necessarily talking about this people in this room, but just as a nation. What do you mean? I can't go to the building and sit in my comfy seat, in my assigned seat. That isn't assigned, but we all sit in the same spot, right? You mean I can't go like in the comfort of listening to my favorite worship songs and listening to my favorite pastor preach, and I can't do that? What do you mean I have to do this faith? Well, that's what it's about. This meeting space that we do on Sunday mornings was never meant to be sufficient for your faith, for your walk. It was never meant to be the one-stop shop. Let me just make sure I get to church on church on the move. Wow. One Life Family Worship. Let me just make sure I get to the church building on a Sunday morning at 10:30 so I can get my little Jesus injection and I'll be ready for the rest of the week. It's just not going to work. And if you're even, maybe you've been wondering, like, man, like, I struggle so much. I want to be, you know, I want to walk out the characteristic of Jesus. I really do, but I really, really struggle. Well, I would ask, what are you doing after Sunday morning? Like, how are you actually engaging with Jesus after Sunday morning? That's really the question. What does it look like? What, you know, and I get it. We all have lives, and we all need to live our lives. It's not that hard to include Jesus in what we're doing. It's not that hard to create a routine where we're engaging with Jesus, whether it be in the morning or at night, in the middle of the day, whatever it is, and making sure that what we're consuming is more of Jesus. And so that we're not dependent on the Sunday morning. And that we get to Friday and we're like, wow, I still feel really good. I still feel really filled up. Why? Because come Monday, I was actually starting to do the work. I'm not saying you're not going to face hard things and where it gets hard to live out this faith, even if you do all these things. Because the world is harsh and people are harsh and life's going to happen. But we are way better off if we engage with our loving Father, we stay prayed up, we keep the faucet running. Jesus was able to engage with evil, with sickness and death, because he first engaged with his Father. Jesus, let me say it again. Jesus was able to engage with evil, sickness, and death because he first was engaged with his Father. Without the engagement of the Father, we don't get stories like this where Jesus comes in and says, evil spirit, go. We don't get stories of Jesus walking into a room, little girl's dead, and he prays and she's alive. We don't get stories of Jesus walking up to a blind man and making some mud and rubbing it on his eyes. We don't get these stories if he wasn't engaged with the Father. We don't even get the cross if he's not engaged with his Father. So if Jesus is showing us any example, it's this: engage with the Father. We engage with the Father. Yes, is where we're going to live in this tension. Am I always going to believe wholeheartedly that God's going to come through? I'll be honest with you guys up here. No, there are going to be moments where I doubt because I'm human. And I've seen God do amazing, miraculous things in my life. But I'm still going to doubt because I'm human. Am I also going to believe that Jesus can do everything? Yes. and the both can coexist. Amen? Let's pray. Jesus, we just thank you so much for your love and your mercy. And we thank you, Father, that you are in this space. We thank you, Jesus, that you love us, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you are on the throne. And God, I just pray that you would be with us today, God. You'd be with us through this week, God. God, I pray right now for anyone who is living in this tension, God, who is believing, Lord, for something that you're going to do or that they've been wanting you to do, God, but also wondering if you can. Right now, you would bring a revelation, Lord, to their heart. I thank you so much, Jesus, for your miraculous power that you pour out on us, God. For the love, God, that you pour out on us, God. For your grace that you pour out on us, God. God, I pray for the things that are hard to believe. Can you do it? The ailments in our body that we've just grown to live with. God, I pray right now we begin to see a move of God happen in bodies in this place, in physical bodies, God. God, I pray for sickness to be healed, God. I pray for bones to come into alignment, God. I pray for eyes, Lord, to be healed, Lord. We just thank you, Jesus. God, I pray for marriages, God, for marriages in this place, for relationships in this place, for families in this place, God. God, I pray, Lord, that those spaces, God, that we have some doubt in, that you would reveal your goodness in those spaces. God, I just thank you for your love and your mercy. And I just say all of these things in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. Hey, I love you. Hope you guys have a great week, and we'll see you guys next Sunday.